Testing, testing. Okay, we're ready. So, Avalokiteshvara, Bodhisattva, when practicing deeply the perfect wisdom, clearly saw that all five skandhas, form, sensation, perception, volition, and consciousness, are passed beyond all suffering. Shariputra, one of the arhats, one of the monks, the early monks, found in Theravada Buddhism, one of the Buddha's right-hand monks. Shariputra, form does not differ from emptiness. Emptiness does not differ from form. Form then is emptiness. Emptiness then is form. Sensation, perception, volition, and consciousness are also like this. So those, sensation, perception, volition, and consciousness, along with form, are the skandhas. So form is emptiness, and emptiness is form. This is one of the most recognizable statements in Mahayana Buddhism. Does anybody have a clue what that might mean? Form is emptiness, and emptiness is form. Does that ring true to you when you first hear it, or does it sound like something you could only really appreciate after meditating in a cave for 3 years? Yeah. Well, what we're talking about is we're talking about ultimate reality and relative reality. And so form does not differ from emptiness. Relative and ultimate reality need to be there for each to work. You can't have relative reality without ultimate reality. You can't have big without small. You can't have light without dark. And so what they're saying is form is not different from emptiness. Relative is not different from ultimate, because we need both of them. Intellectually, we can see the difference, and they need to be different. But what the perfect wisdom of the Heart Sutra is pointing at is this ultimate reality beyond relative and ultimate. Now, this is like the toughest part of all, because you can't talk about it. So as you read Buddhism and you study Buddhism and you start to see the relative realities, the relative truths of Buddhism, you go, okay, yeah, that's sort of intellectual, that's all mind-made. And now we have this experiential, ultimate reality that's really beyond words, but we sort of know it when we experience it. We have this intuitive understanding of it, and yet it can't migrate to the intellect. We can't really talk about it or explain it. So we've come to this idea that we have relative and ultimate reality. But that's still dualistic. And there's something beyond the dualistic. There's something beyond the relative and the ultimate. And that's what they're talking about. It's the thing beyond that. So it's hard to even imagine experiencing it. It's harder even still to imagine talking about it. And so it's this sort of philosophical conundrum, if you will. You just go, man. Now, a Christian might say, well, that's God. Okay. A Buddhist would say, that's emptiness. Okay. But even emptiness needs fullness to exist. So emptiness would not be the proper explanation for this beyond relative and ultimate that we're talking about. That's why you chant this thing for 20 years. You get this thing in your head, and now it starts to resonate with your experiences and your understanding and your spiritual practice. And you start to see that, yeah, I understand it now. But it doesn't come, there have been books written on the Heart Sutra, and you can buy those and read those. I have a couple. And they're fun to read. But the only way you're really truly going to understand the Heart Sutra is to chant it every day. And that's what they do in these Zen monasteries. Every day. This is the most profound sutra. Now we go to the third paragraph, Shariputra. All dharmas are marked with emptiness. Ultimate truth is always marked with emptiness. Not born and not dying, not stained and not pure, not gaining and not losing. Therefore, in emptiness there is no form, no sensation, perception, volition, or consciousness. No eye, ear, nose, tongue, body, or mind. No form, sound, smell, touch, taste, or dharmas. No realm of sight till we come to no realm of consciousness. No ignorance and no ending of ignorance till we come to no old age and death and no ending of old age and death. No suffering, origination, extinction, or path. No wisdom and no attainment with nothing to attain. Now, in that one paragraph is a host of vocabulary talking that points to the early Buddhist tradition of Theravada. All those words are talking about, for instance, sound, smell, taste, touch. Those are the sense doors. Those are the sense doors. And you have perception, sensation, perception, volition, or consciousness. Those are the skandhas again. No old age and death. Buddhism is a way never to die again. So there's no old age and death, and then there is old age and death at exactly the same time, because we're still stuck in this relative context, trying to just point at this more than ultimate reality. So this is like the finger pointing. This is like the map and not the terrain. This is like the menu and not the meal. This is like just trying to give you a glimpse behind the veil of your delusion and ignorance of what the possibility of this path is. And so it's exciting in that way too. It's exciting because you have great doubt now. You know, you can't say this is your truth yet because it hasn't become you. And so rather than saying, well, it's not true and I'm not going to care about it, the Buddhists would engage themselves in the practice of recitation or chanting it. And one day it just becomes true. And all by itself. It's in there. It's sort of like cooking, if you will. And the temperature is just right and it's starting to bubble, but it's not quite done yet, you know. And it's at your subconscious. And then one day, it just comes up out of your subconscious into your conscious, and you just get this big old grin on your face. And nobody knows why you're smiling. But you do, because you finally figured out the Heart Sutra. And it can happen anywhere, even on the 405 freeway. This is smiling. Because the Bodhisattva is the perfect wisdom of emptiness, his mind has no hindrance. Having no hindrance, there is no fear, and far from all fantasy, he is dwelling in nirvana. Because all Buddhas of the three times practice the wisdom of emptiness, they gain complete and perfect enlightenment. Therefore know that perfect wisdom is the great holy mantram, the great bright mantram, the wisdom mantram, the unequaled mantram, which can destroy all suffering, truly real and not false. So he gave the perfect wisdom mantram, which goes, Gate, gate, para, gate, para, samgate, bodhisvaha. Gone, gone, gone beyond to the other shore. And that's not translated into English, because this has a very magical meaning to it, and you have to say it properly for it to work. And I really like some of that stuff. It's that little magic stuff. So yeah, this is and this can't be truly translated. I mean, but generally speaking, gone, gone, gone beyond to the other shore. So this is our secret mantram at the end. And we're saying these sounds, and they resonate with the universe in a very special way. So let me talk a little bit about chanting, because there's a couple different ways to chant. And one of the things I like about chanting is it creates community right away. That we all have to sort of chant together and sound sort of good. Now, if you're like me, I don't have much of an ear when it comes to singing. And I oftentimes record myself as I practice just to see how poorly I do it. And I never fail to surprise myself at how poorly I do it. But think about it in this way. You know, we can create chords. A chord is two notes or more. Okay? So say all of us can't make a middle C. But what chords or what notes are in the chord of C? And can we make those notes? And there's plenty of chances for us to come into harmony with each other. We don't all need to be at the same level. See what I'm saying? Okay. So when I first started chanting, I was really sort of shy. And I'm thinking, you know, I'm going to screw it all up because I'm loud and I'm going to be off key and everybody else is going to look at me and say, what's wrong with him? And then what I realized is if you don't try really hard, your voice naturally wants to harmonize with the other voices. It's something about being human, I think, that we want to be in community and our voices want to harmonize. And if we all just sort of go, all of a sudden, all those little voices sort of harmonize. They're finding their own harmony. Now, let me tell you about chanting itself. You want to use your nasal cavities and the bones in your head. You know, what I started to do is I started to chant a lot through my mouth. And it was good. I could be loud and impressive. But it didn't do really anything for me. And then I started to chant through my nose. I'd bring my tongue up, and I just had that sort of going through. And what started to happen was those bones in my nose and my head started to vibrate. And I got higher than a kite. It was wonderful. So it was just a pleasure to sit down and chant every day. We all smiled at the end, you know. And you can make these words happen by just moving your lips without so much with your vocal cords. For instance, Now, I know it sounds really weird just to hear one person chanting like that, but if we're all chanting like that or similar to that, there's this whole sort of resonance things happening, and you don't need a whole lot of breath. It's much less breath. You can just take one giant breath and do a whole almost paragraph. But it takes a little practice. And there needs to be a cadence. We need to be able to do it together, and that's why this guy is here. And so, for instance, now I'm gonna cover it up a little bit with this bag here because it's just too loud. And it works great for a big assembly with thousands of monks chanting, but just for us, I don't think we need it. So, that's plenty. Okay, so we're going to go like...
Avalokiteshvara Bodhisattva, when practicing deeply the perfect wisdom, clearly saw that all five skandhas are empty and passed beyond all suffering.
At our center now, we added that little suffering, and I think it really just does it. You know, in other centers, they do it completely differently. So now Shariputra is highlighted as well. So,
Shariputra, form does not differ from emptiness. Emptiness does not differ from form. Form then is emptiness. Emptiness then is form, sensation, perception, volition, and consciousness are also like this.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Talking is fine too. I just sort of ran into this technique as I was chanting because I started, you know, Avalokiteshvara, and it was just a little gross. It wasn't a subtle kind of thing. So what I did is I went from ah to Isn't that weird? I know. It's like putting your tongue sort of back in your so the air doesn't come through the mouth necessarily, but it goes through the nose. Well, it's not going through my nose. Okay, you know what? Let's try this first. Let's chant Om Mani Padme Hum. That's the jewel in the lotus. It's a Tibetan chant. And when we're chanting this, it's Om, O-H-M, Mani, M-A-N-I, Padme, P-A-D-M-E, Hum, H-U-M. Try doing a long Om.
get a lot of breath in your diaphragm, and okay, now there we go. So what I'm doing now is I'm going to pull my tongue out, and you hear the two sounds. It's something to do with my epiglottis, I think, and my tongue placement. Can you hear the difference between those sounds? So one is sort of like, that's coming right out through my mouth. And this one, that's sort of going through the nasal cavity a little bit. I know, it's really weird. We really have to be comfortable with each other to make these sounds.
Occasionally, like an icebreaker.
Yeah. It is a good icebreaker. If you have a party and everybody's sort of, you know, let's all do OM. So I find I can do OM twice as long doing it, you know, through the nasal cavity because it uses half as much air. But if you can't do it, let's just do OM. Try to follow me as long as you can, and then we'll do Mani, Padme, Hum. And it would sound like this. So we take two breaths. So we take two breaths. We do OM Mani, and then another breath, Padme OM. Okay. Could everybody do that? Did you hear yourself doing it? Did you find that taking?
We were just watching you.
Okay. Well.
I started to eat. I'm like, no one else is doing it. I'll stop now.
You know. But when you take that much air in. It just makes you smile. So let's try to get maybe not quite as long, maybe just a little shorter. Okay, so OM Mani, breathe, Padme Hum. OM Mani, breathe, Padme Hum. And I'll do it a little quieter too, so you can all, you know. Or if I do it a little bit loud, try to just jump in and try to get that place. Because I'm not going to go, real low. I'll try to go, I'm not even sure what that is, but. Did everybody sort of get in that one? Okay.
Because you're holding your breath, so it's sort of,
And that one book that I got, the one book that you recommend on the website that talks a lot about breathing and holding your breath.
The Zen training one.
Yeah.
Yeah. There is some, I am using my diaphragm when I'm doing that.
And it helps not think about other things.
You know, when you do that, you can't think about anything. There are no thoughts happening at all. And can you imagine 6 o'clock in the morning? You know, there you are with a couple close friends, and you start chanting like that. What a way to start the day. You get this surge of oxygen, you know, and you've got no thoughts. And everything is like the first time. So chanting is just a very pleasant experience for me. I enjoy doing it. But I find it's a lot of people self-conscious about doing it, you know. So it's okay to practice alone, I guess, as well, too. Now, that was, you know, using our breath control to, you know, elongate the syllables, if you will. Now we're going to simply be speaking. And you can speak or you can chant. It's sort of a sing-songy, I suppose you could call it, you know, and which is the way I basically sing. And what we're doing is we're following the words now. We're trying to pronounce the words together, but we're not trying to think about the meaning of the words. That comes later. So let me just do it real quick, one time through, so you can hear how I do it. And I'm going to read it just so I don't make any mistakes, because I usually don't. And when you're chanting all together, you can make mistakes and nobody knows. So it works out fine. Here we go. The Perfect Wisdom of the Heart Sutra. Avalokiteshvara Bodhisattva, when practicing deeply the perfect wisdom, clearly saw that all 5 skandhas are empty and pass beyond all suffering. Shariputra, form does not differ from emptiness, emptiness does not differ from form, form then is emptiness, emptiness then is form, sensation, perception, volition, and consciousness are also like this. Shariputra, all dharmas are marked with emptiness, not born and not dying, not stained and not pure, not gaining and not losing. Therefore, in emptiness there is no form, no sensation, perception, volition, or consciousness, no eye, no stung body or mind, no form, sound, smell, taste, touch, or dharmas, no realm of sight till we come to no realm of consciousness. No ignorance and no ending of ignorance till we come to no old age and death, and no ending of old age and death. No suffering, origination, extinction, or path, no wisdom and no attainment with nothing to attain. Because the Bodhisattva is the perfect wisdom of emptiness, his mind has no hindrance, having no hindrance, there is no fear, and far from all fantasy, he is dwelling in nirvana. Because all Buddhas of the 3 times practice the wisdom of emptiness, they gain complete and perfect enlightenment. Therefore know that perfect wisdom is the great holy mantram, the great bright mantram, the wisdom mantram, the unequaled mantram, which can destroy all suffering, truly real and not faults. So he gave the perfect mantra, which goes, Gate, Gate, Parang, Gate, Parang. It gets primal at that level, you know. So we don't have to do it that fast. That was fast because of familiarity. But we can do it slower. Now the secret in chanting together is follow the leader. So I've heard people just chanting because of the way they felt moved and stuff, and it doesn't work well because we're creating community here. And so we want to try to get on the same note and finish the words at the same time. Anybody have any questions? Yes.
Could we maybe sit in meditation on a like rather than sitting in the desk and listening to
this? Yeah, actually, it's much better to sit on the floor and do this. And should we take a little break? Because it's 8:30 now? Okay, why don't we take a break? And then when we come back, we'll do our first heart sutra together.
Were you saying